I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Would you be willing to pay more to go to a festival because you are not African-American? The Afrofuture Fest in Detroit is charging more for non-people of color, claiming that equality means treating everyone the same. They say that equity is ensuring everyone has what they need to be successful and that their ticket pricing ensures that marginalized communities have an equitable chance at enjoying events in their own communities. But does this violate the Constitution? Joining us on the line is Nagana Lewis, Associate Professor of English and Africana Studies at Tulane University. Mr. Lewis, thank you for joining us.
How are you?
Ms. Lewis, I'm sorry. Excuse me. So when we think about equality versus equity, and is this just a kind of an innovative way of working around what the Constitution requires or equality requires relative to pricing of tickets to a concert event?
Yeah, I don't know what the thinking. I know what the explanation is that was given by the organization, but it is an explanation that is deficient when we take into consideration the bottom line here. It's not a viable means of addressing what may be a legitimate concern about inequity. That's not a viable means of addressing that concern by proposing to charge people attending an event different rates. That's just illogical to me. And to your question, I do think that it would be, you know, a violation of equal protection under the Constitution.
Yeah, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 specifically describes, places of public accommodation to include motion picture houses, theaters, concert halls, sports arena stadiums, and other places of exhibition or entertainment. So in what context, then, when we start making these comparisons of equality, meaning treating everyone the same, as opposed to equity, ensuring that everyone has what they need to be successful, is there a context where that is a legitimate conversation to be had?
I think probably the most clear-cut for me in terms of my own research and my own work in law, probably the most clear-cut area where issues of equity and equality and the notion of kind of balancing out a playing field would be in the area of education, specifically K-12 education, but then also in housing, because there is evidence documented history of the impact that redlining had on communities of color, especially Black communities, throughout the 70s and 80s. Those are areas where I think we could probably bring enough people to a table and come to some agreement that there's a history, there are histories of inequality and a need and continuing inequity that needs to be addressed. But again, the efforts of this particular organization, because I did a little bit of reading, I don't know a whole lot about this organization. I did some reading as to what was available on the internet, and it's really mind-boggling to me, the rationale that this organization would come up with to propose to justify paying attendees to a concert different rates for entry. It's just, it's really disturbing.
So when you see things like this, I mean, and it was one of the reasons that I wanted to discuss it. I agree with you. I think that there is a context by in which this is a legitimate conversation to be had. But when you see examples such as this, it just really just pulls the rug right out from under folks that really want to have a legitimate conversation about this in so many other real ways, right?
It does. I'm you know, being very honest with you, I was shocked and really disappointed because it misses there seems on the part of this organization to really have missed an opportunity to try to engage the public in a conversation about some of the issues that seem to be important. There are a lot of organizations that have presumably, you know, good intentions in terms of the kinds of issues that are important to them and the things that they want to address. But the way that they go about doing it is so highly problematic. And it almost seems, from the information that I read on the organization, it almost seems as that they're sort of justifying, their way of justifying it is because they're an organization that aims to address inequity and inequality, but that's not valid. That is not a justification for engaging in what essentially amounts to discriminatory, blatantly discriminatory conduct on the part of the organization, and totally illegitimate because there's no rhyme or reason to it, at least as it's presented. Has been presented to the public.
You know, I oftentimes I question myself sometimes that I'm being too Machiavellian. I thought that this was just a very innovative way of getting around the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and dealing with this equality issue and making it about equity. And
I have to wonder, can I ask you if, because I don't know if I have enough information. In fact, I know I don't have enough information about the organizers of this event and the leadership within Afrofuture Youth, what their ages are, what their backgrounds are, because it seems just to me to be a very naive approach to things. And I don't want to assume that they are informed. It's not an excuse for engaging in discriminatory conduct. At the same time, I would probably want to get a little bit more information about background.
I think there's a bigger context here, and the thing is that would you agree that the constraints of equality versus the constraints of equity, that equity is a much broader construct than equality?
Absolutely.
And,
yes, absolutely.
You know, and I think what's happening and what we see today is that I really believe that a lot of the folks, especially those that fall within the realm of progressive socialist, are really thinking more in this construct of the equity standpoint, and a lot of the principles that they're talking about, because they feel confined by equality.
And I would agree. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I really believe that this is this new term that we're going to be facing in the politics of our future. That it used to be in the 70s and the 80s, it was all about equality. And I think now it's going to, you won't hear that word that often any longer. It's going to be all about equity.
I think it's going to take a lot more work to help people to unpack what that means. Because with equality, historically, we tend to fall back on binaries, black, white, and seeing things in really reductionistic terms. Whereas when you're talking about equity, you have to be careful, because I don't think that questions and issues around equity can be reduced to black and white. I think it's far more complicated. I think it requires a lot more work around acknowledging that while people of color, black people in particular, may have been subjected to particular forms of inequality, de jure and de facto, people of color, there isn't a kind of monopoly, right, or exclusive right to claim that you have been disenfranchised or treated unfairly when we talk about issues of equity. It's more complicated. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's how I see it.
No, I do. And I think, you know, I oftentimes think about when we're spending a lot of time, a lot more time talking about gender. You know, you have biracial couples, biracial folks, you know, I mean, it is a lot more complex. We now have become the victim and I use this term just because it is the term of art. I don't mean it in a negative connotation. A victim of our own successes. A lot of what we complained about, that we're not as open and receptive and as inclusionary as we've often thought we are, in many respects, we are.
Yeah.
And that doesn't fit in. And that doesn't fit into equality.
I would agree. I would agree with you.
And equity is a whole different construct now.
Right.
And and when we think about victimology, right, we got a whole new construct that we now have to deal with. And it seems to me, as I look at more and more evidence of what I read, this is where we're moving. And I agree with everything that you've said. It is not as binary, and it's going to be really hard to figure out how we're going to weave into organizations operationally principles to deal with equity as opposed to equality.
Yeah, because we historically haven't really done that work, and it's not easy work. It's really not easy work. I think just from a conceptual standpoint, it's difficult and will be difficult to continue to sort of wrap our brains around what that means. And then, you know, how do you then act in terms of policy? It's just not easy work.
No.
I
remember, I go back to what my parents say to me, and I'm sure maybe your parents said it to you as well. Life's not fair. There's a lot about life that's just not fair. There's a lot about relationships that are just not fair, right?
That's true.
There's a lot about human interaction that's just not fair. It's not equitable. It doesn't always cut up to where equity is always the result.
That's true. True. And again, so that's why if there is commitment to if there's an agreement that we need to continue as a society to commit to asking the tough questions that we may need to ask ourselves around these kinds of issues. So you referenced gender. I'm kind of getting off the point of the conversation, but I know it's really, you know, a big thing for us to talk now about pay inequity, gender pay, right? And so what does it mean? And if we are in earnest to have that dialogue, then what do we have to concede about the history? And then what are some things that we have to also be honest about moving forward in certain industries? And I don't want to get too far off the mark, but I just think that we have a lot of work to do, and it's not easy work. And what I think Afrofuture Youth, this organization, while it may have had a laudable objective, you know, in terms of trying to address this issue of inequity, I don't believe that the way that it went about doing it is appropriate, and it suggests very strongly that the organization needs to go back to the table. Well, and, you know, to continue to have some dialogue and to continue to get some information and educate itself.
Well, my initial reaction was there are no successful people of color. I mean, you know, when you right away say people of color are going to go for half the ticket price because, you know, it's it's like, wait a minute. You know, a lot of my African-American friends are very successful, many of whom.
Yeah.
More successful than I'm ever going to be. And I'm like,
it kind of oversimplifies, it overstates the case for, you know, who's a victim.
No, absolutely.
I agree with you. And that's why I said earlier, if we're going to have honest conversations about inequity, then we will have to admit that it's not always historically been about race.
Right.
That it's much more complicated.
That's going to be a tough place for a lot of people to come to. But anyway, Nagana Lewis.
Is that George Clinton in the background?
I don't pick the music. They do in the booth.
All right.
Thank you so much. I've truly enjoyed the conversation. Nagana Lewis, Associate Professor of English and Africana Studies at Tulane University. Have a great day.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us. On the text line, great, civil, interesting, and informative conversation with your Tulane professor guest. Thank you. I enjoyed that conversation. I love those types of conversations. It's one of the things that drew me actually to doing this, is that I've always enjoyed those types of conversations. Having an intellectual conversation about any number of challenging topics and trying to think forward. In this particular topic, Tiny Jag, a biracial rapper based in Detroit, they quit the event and insisted that Afrofuture Fest removed her name from all promotional material. She was like, I have family members that would have, under those circumstances, been subjected to something that I would never want them to be in, especially because of anything that I have going on. It's non-progressive, and it's not a solution focused in my eyes. It seems almost like it has spite. And unfortunately, with spite comes hate. And that's just not obviously going to be a good direction for us to go if we're looking for positive change. Tiny Jack, I could not have agreed more. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you when we return. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We've been talking about whether or not you would be willing to pay more to go to a festival because you're not African-American. The Afrofuture Fest in Detroit is charging more for non-people of color, claiming that equality means treating everyone the same, and that equity is ensuring that everyone has what they need to be successful, and that their ticket pricing ensures that marginalized communities have an equitable chance at enjoying events in their own communities. As a result of that, a biracial rapper pulled out of the event, stating that it's not obviously going to be a good direction if we're looking for positive change when we're talking about this equal versus equity thing. And, you know, kind of was implying that in many respects, this is discriminatory. And want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 87870. Let's go to George on line one. What say you, George?
Sheriff, I have an enormous respect for your ability to be articulate. And I really enjoyed that conversation a little while ago because that is so, you know, that's such a valuable thing. And it's not, it doesn't happen much on radio even, and it should.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And you were sheriff of Jefferson Parish for how many years?
10 years.
Right? That's incredible. Well, all I wanted to comment on is with all that experience and hearing all of that all the time, why can't you pronounce the name of Metairie properly?
And what is the proper way?
You know the proper way. So that's all. I just, you know, it goes up and down my spine when you say Metairie.
Metairie?
It's so trashy.
Unfortunately, Ian in the booth has taken a credit for that because he types it in that way. So I just read it as Metairie.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. I know Ian much better than that. Okay, so that's all. I just wanted to comment.
Well, George, let me ask you. Do you think I'm off base when we talk about this? Is this a calculated move in moving from this equality conversation into this equity conversation? That really is, I believe, in many respects, a really much more difficult construct.
No, I think they did it to try to in simple, without thinking.
Yeah, possibly that's true. It's and I think Ms. Nagano was right. I really believe that. There may be some level of naivete there. I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt as much as I can.
Yeah.
But, you know, my first reaction, and I mean that with all honesty, when I read it, I was like, well, wait a minute. I mean, I got out of it. There's this implication that there are no successful African-Americans that can't afford this. They're not marginalized. There are a lot of, you know, most African-Americans that I know are very successful people. They've done very, very
That's
well
right.
for themselves. I mean, they're,
yeah.
You know, they don't.
I think it was more like, let's see how this would work. Let's see if we can prove something, or let's see if we can help separate without thinking of the implications.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously hit all the talk shows, and you know, when I read it the first time, I immediately scheduled it. I was like, I need to talk about this, but it's going to be interesting to see what ultimately happens, and we'll report back to everybody as to what happens with this policy that they have. Thank you, George. Appreciate the call. We'll go to Michael in New Orleans. What say you, Michael?
How are you doing?
Doing well, and yourself?
Just fine. I was just listening to the...
Well, I think we lost Michael. We'll try and get him back. We'll go to a break, and we'll try and get Michael back. So stay with us. This is Newell on WWO. We're back. We've been talking about the Afrofuture Fest that charges people of color half the price of people that are not of color. Whether or not that is discriminatory, they're saying this is about equity, not about equality, and that equity is different. Let's go to line one, talk to Larry out there in Houston Town. What say you, Larry?
Hey, how you doing, Luke?
Doing great.
Thanks for taking my call. Like I was telling the guy to answer the phone, I'm from New Orleans. I was born in New Orleans. I lived in Houston probably basically all my life. And, I drive trucks for a living. And the first thing when people find out I'm from New Orleans, the first two things they ask about, the Essence Festival and Mardi Gras. This past weekend, you had the presidential candidates from the Democratic Party mm-hmm. and the former First Lady at the Essence Festival. All these people are trying to do is get publicity. You have never heard of that festival. You know, if you wouldn't have heard that from that, nobody wouldn't even know what that festival was about.
So you think it was just an attention-grabbing scheme?
That's all it is. And you know, it's time that
so that makes it even America, that makes it even worse, doesn't it?
That's what I'm saying. But it's time for us as Americans to go ahead and rely on stuff like that. You know, I remember when I was looking at all this stuff that happened in New Zealand when the guy went into the mosque mm-hmm. and they didn't want to say his name because they didn't want to, you know what I'm saying, give him no kind of praises.
Right.
You know, it's time to praise the good, not the bad.
Right.
Because that's all these people are looking for is publicity.
You may be right. I mean, I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt on so many different fronts, but that would make this actually worse.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, when I heard of it, I thought it was a joke. I mean, like I said, I was like, when I see it on the news, I'm like, where is this festival? I never, you know, something I never heard. And like I said,
Yeah.
Being a truck driver and owning trucks, I've been all over the states. But like I said, when I go to different places, that's the first thing. The Essence Fellas will bring people from everywhere. You holler, you from New Orleans? First thing they ask, Mardi Gras, Essence Festival.
And look, Essence Festival is not cheap either, right?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Did you have the same reaction that I had? That it was almost like when I read it, I said, "Well, wait a minute. I mean, this almost suggests that there are no, you know, successful or people of means who are of color." I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, it's like this is craziness.
To me, I ain't gonna lie to you. I took it as racist.
Yeah,
I took it as racist.
Yeah,
you know. And I mean, I'm just being completely honest as an African American man, because I mean, if somebody would say the opposite, that's how I would have taken it. So it's no, you can't split hairs.
No,
it is what it is, you know.
And you're right. I mean, you know, at some point in time, we have to move beyond allowing folks to divide us by utilizing and weaponizing race.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, because I'm a combat vet and I've been in the military.
Thank you for your service, by the way. I always do that.
When I first got up in the military, it was no black or white or Hispanic or nothing like that. My drill sergeant, he was a Hispanic man. He said, y'all know what y'all is? One color, green.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
And I know what color your blood is. It's red, right? Like everybody else.
That's it. You know, so all this stuff, I mean, stuff like that, I laugh at, but it's not, because this country is too divided right now for stuff like that.
No, absolutely. Well, Larry, we need you back in New Orleans, my friend. Leave Houston, come home. Come back so you can enjoy. We lost Larry. Sorry about that. Let's go to we got to get to a break. I'm sorry. We get to a break. We'll come right back. Okay, we'll go to Nicole. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I was calling because I wanted to make a comment about the festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling the caller that I'm an African-American woman who lives in New Orleans. And as you know, this past weekend was the Essence Festival, which is primarily geared toward African-American women. However, I have a friend of mine who mentioned how she wanted to have gone to the Essence Festival, but she was unsure because she has biracial children. She's Filipino and her husband is black.
Mm-hmm.
And she was unsure about, you know, her comfort level or being welcome at the festival with her and her daughter.
Well, that's a shame.
She was talking about products for their hair. And I was telling her, no, you need to go down there. You take your daughters and you go expose them to all the festivities, activities, products, seminars, workshops. I said there's a lot of things that, you know, would be beneficial for them to attend. And I'm like, you should take them down there. And so I don't know if she actually went, but just her expressing the fact that she wasn't sure. And I'm like, Essence Festival is for everyone, even though they have a target audience. And most of the festivities are free. Some of the events are ticketed.
Yeah.
But many of the things that are offered in the convention center are free.
That's true.
To attend and partake of. The second thing that I thought about with the festival in Detroit was that the way I see the problem would be more from, I understand the difference between equality and equity, but my concern is how do the ticket takers determine what someone's ethnicity is? For example, with the note of my friend who has biracial children, you know, people have to self-identify what they think their ethnicity or their background or culture is. That's not for someone else to determine unless they're going to survey every person that comes. I mean, how are they determining who has to pay more and who doesn't? I mean, people look very different, and we have a country full of people who are mixed race, and at what point are you going to determine someone is or is not, quote-unquote, black? And I think that is just problematic overall.
And isn't it just Do you feel it's a generalization when you say that the entire African American race is marginalized?
The entire African American race is marginalized?
I mean, that's basically what they're saying. They're saying that, you know, all African Americans are marginalized, and therefore they get in for half the price that a white person would pay.
But the problem with that is how you define someone's experience as being marginalized. If there's someone who's
I agree. Race, I agree.
Are they not marginalized too if they're part black? I don't know. I mean, I think that's it's a slippery slope is what I'm saying. And I think it's problematic.
I mean, I guess the question I'm asking of you, are poor whites marginalized?
Sure. They're marginalized by their socioeconomic status, just like many poor people. There's
it gets back to what I said before. Life's not fair. And, you know, equity is really a slippery slope in many respects. I don't know. I mean, I don't have the solution, but I go back to that as a starting point all the time. Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate it. Got to get to a break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. We want to thank everybody for their participation today. Thank Ian in the booth. Great show today. Really appreciate it. Scoots up next. Is it art or offensive? Does the city have the right to regulate art, violate the free speech rights of citizens who make fun of President Trump with a lewd mural? That's the question in federal court in New Orleans. The city says the paintings are too sexually graphic. The citizen says he has the right to free speech. Which is it? Plus, an alligator hit and run. A South Carolina man sues the state after his car hit an alligator. Does he have a case? And is the state responsible for wildlife when it hits his car? What about deer? We're going to be talking about all of that with Scoot this afternoon. Stay tuned. He's up next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.